Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. And today is June 11th, 2019, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President, Information Services of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Michael. I'm doing great. It's a WASD day.
Yeah, happy WASD to you.
Happy WASD to you
as well.
Oh
my gosh. What do? We celebrate numbers today, don't we?
We do, including a win for your beloved Warriors.
So. Thank you. I thought it was a great game, of course. And I wish Kevin Durant much speedy recovery. And
yes,
a lot of heart out there doing that. So we'll play game six on Thursday.
Well, hopefully you guys didn't mess up his money forever.
I don't think we did.
Deciding to do that.
I don't think. Any team, he'll come back with the way the medical industry can work these days. He'll come back and make that huge payday that he's probably hoping for.
Yeah, he deserves.
Yeah, he deserves it. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure his agent is probably sweating little bullets right now. But hey.
Just a little bit. like the market.
Why did we let him go out there?
Like farmers.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of farmers. So I thought today we'd do a great little recap of WASD. And you can cover corn and soybeans. And I'll cover the not great shake sugar. How's that?
Okay.
Fair enough?
Sounds fair.
I'll let you start.
Yeah, fair enough.
Go for it.
You know, it was a fiery day in the corn market, for sure.
Very.
You're almost always guaranteed an interesting trading session on a WASD day. Mm. Sometimes it's going the opposite direction that seems to make sense, but not today. First, we got a rare sighting in the form of major changes to acreage and yield in a June WASD report. Mm. Usually, the USDA will wait until at least the July report to make any substantive changes to production because they would have wanted to, number one, have the release of the acreage report to back up their rationale, and number two, have a bit longer look at weather post the crop being planted to come up with some yield projections. But I think this time around, they erred on the side of getting the market ready for additional changes down the road rather than showing a sharp change in a later report. My two cents, I think we still have a ways to go on the final acreage number, and we still have a ways to go on a final yield number. But we also have a lot to uncover with demand. For instance, will ethanol production hold up with corn prices moving higher? So far, ethanol prices have rallied with corn, but crude oil and gasoline prices have been moving lower, rebounding a little bit of late. But that leaves a lot to be determined in terms of corn usage for that category, the only category of demand for 2019-20 that wasn't touched in this report. Mm. Conversely, what will happen between the U.S. and China in these ongoing trade discussions, and how will that impact pork production and exports for the U.S.? Now, the feed category was lowered by 300 million bushels. Could we see more demand for feed to supplement growing hog production? That could come if, maybe even if not, a deal is worked out between the two countries. Time will tell. I think the moral of the story on corn with this report is volatility.
Yay.
Yay. I know. Everybody loves volatility.
If you're hedged, you are.
if you're hedged, you are. Definitely. That money was worthwhile.
Yeah, right.
Basically, some concerns on the corn market have been affirmed, and we saw that with the acreage reduction. But as I said, we could see more of that down the road. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more to settle out in the months to come.
Ah, exciting summer in corn.
Yes, very, very exciting. Yeah. So let's talk about soybeans and soybean oil, shall we?
Shall do.
Okay. Well, something else we haven't really discussed to this point that's worth mentioning is while the weather has been excessively wet in the U.S., United States Midwest, the opposite is occurring in the Canadian prairie. Mm. There, the weather has been excessively dry, and expectations of substantive replant has them a little concerned about both corn and canola production up there. And I'll get back to that in a second. But it provides the perfect segue into soybeans and soybean oil. For soybeans, one need only to look at the futures market to guess what the report said. For those folks, that may have doubted my assessment that the balance sheet would get more bearish. We saw a sharp 75 million bushel increase to ending stocks for 2018-19.
Wow.
I know, as the USDA revised exports lower. Speaking of those exports, cumulative shipments as of the end of May trailed the 2017-18 year by 25%. And that's likely why USDA has got it right at 1.7 billion bushels. So that huge crop gets huger, bigger, larger?
Sure.
Sizable.
Larger. Okay. Sizable.
Well, speaking of getting on to the 2019-20 crop year for soybeans, other than that likewise revision to beginning stocks, everything else was left unchanged.
Okay.
USDA adhered to its tradition on this balance sheet. And I can't say I blame them because soy acreage is still very much up in the air as well. Farmers may increase acreage for soybeans where they couldn't plant corn, especially considering they can get a subsidy for it. But if you're USDA, I don't think you want to say that before you know for sure. Considering the ending stocks projection for 2019-20 is already over a billion bushels, and stocks to use as it stands today is projected at a whopping 25%.
Okay.
So if people are wondering why I haven't really been talking about soybean plantings being behind pace or emergence being well behind pace,
right?
It's because soybeans are the least of your concerns right now. So that leaves us with soybean oil. Now, that's the reason why I mentioned what's happening with the weather in Canada. To kind of circle back on that, issues with canola production could add support to canola oil prices that spills into the soybean oil market. On top of that, although the latest projection increased ending stocks of soybean oil for 2019-20 by a little under 100 million pounds, we still have a bullish stocks to use of 6%. Now, in fairness, that number makes some assumptions, like 8.7 billion pounds of soybean oil for biodiesel use. Interestingly, for 2018-19, USDA lowered biodiesel usage by 150 million pounds. And if you look at the monthly numbers, March usage of biodiesel was actually below that of 2018, the first month we've seen year-on-year declines in, I don't know, forever, maybe? Seriously, though, it is the first time in a long time. And granted, we're talking about a difference of less than 10 million pounds, but nonetheless, it makes you raise an eyebrow. Now, the other thing is the 2019-20 ending stocks number for soybean oil also assumes an average yield of 11.6 pounds per bushel. Now, we've been averaging well above that this year. In fact, USDA is now using an average yield of 11.66 pounds per bushel for 2018-19. Now, for perspective, the difference between 11.6 and, say, 11.7 pounds of oil per bushel of beans, if you applied that against a crush number of 2.115 billion, which is what we have on the balance sheet now, that would be almost 212 million pounds of soybean oil. So, and that's roughly a percentage point added on the stocks to use. So something to keep in mind. And then just one last note on soybeans and further rationale behind why it's not the market to worry about. Well, unless you're a farmer trying to market them, then it's a different story.
Sure.
The soybean numbers for China. And this is something I find interesting. So we've all heard about African swine fever, probably from me on one of these podcasts.
Yep.
And it's been all over the news. Yes. Now it's being overshadowed by U.S. weather and plantings, but that epidemic continues. And the interesting thing for me is noting the minimal change to soybean crush numbers for China. So for 2018-19, the projection is but 4 million metric tons below the year prior, or about 4.4%. And the number for 2019-20 is currently identical. Now, if a country loses 20 to 30% of its swine population, I would expect a similar decline to soybean crush, or at least more than 4 to 5%.
Sure.
So we'll see. But I bring this up because currently it appears that global soybean ending stocks will stay near parity to this year based on the report. And I'm sure some other country will make up for some of that crush demand, at least to an extent. But we'll probably see global soybean ending stocks growing in reports to come, barring any weather issues in South America towards the end of this year into next.
Got it.
So that gets it.
Great recap. Okay, cool. Well, shifting over to sugar, you know, it wasn't as interesting as what you reported in corn and soybeans. As you remember, last month, they actually reduced the sugar production a lot because of the beet, late plantings in beets, and not expecting an early harvest. So they lowered it quite a bit. Right. Well, this month, they increased the 18-19 beet crop just slightly. And that was really offset by some increases, or I'm sorry, some decreases in the cane side. Okay. So, you know, we've got the beet crop planted, and boy, it's just going to take Mother Nature from here on out to see how it progresses. So, you know, we got the beet crop at 4.920 short tons raw value. The other big thing for 18-19 was they upped the high tier import. So one of the things we've talked about is the number 11 sugar market being so low. We're starting to see tier two sugar coming in from Canada into the Northwest and Northeast. So they increased that 20,000 short tons raw value, which the next section talking about demand, boy, through April, we've had an increase in deliveries of almost up 1%.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I know, right?
Yeah, I know. And that's a number that we've always suggested that one's a tough one for the USDA to peg. So if that continues, at the end of the day, for 18-19, that leaves a stocks to use ratio of about 12.5%, which historically they've said as of late that they want to try to manage it at 13.5% stocks to use ratio. So, you know, something's going to have to change, and that could mean that they do some reassignments of the TRQ and or open up, as we've talked about, and Kevin has talked about additional quota for Mexico,
who has
a lot of sugar.
Lots of sugar.
So that was it for 18-19. For 19-20, you know, not a lot of adjustments there. I think on the supply side, you had a minor increase from the May WASDE. So we're looking at a total production of 9.138 million short tons raw value. So a little bit of increase. Demand continuing to increase. They didn't make any changes, but when you compare it to 18-19, looking at an increase. So, but the real big news outside of the WASD, as you know, was this announcement of the tariff by our President Donald Trump. And so that's been kicked down the road as Mexico's agreed to increase their immigration
efforts.
What would you call it? What's that?
Their immigration or anti-immigration efforts there, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. We'll put it that way. So anyway, so last week we saw a big increase in the number 16 raw market for the September and November positions. So we almost up a penny on those.
Yeah,
and,
fear. Fear this drives week we've markets.
Fear definitely drives markets. So that's calmed down this week where you're at about 26.5 for those positions. And as you move into next year, about 26, 25. So the number 16 has calmed down a little bit. As you all know, commercial activity for 19-20 has increased, mm-hmm. and people are looking at getting stuff booked. And you know, Nicole, I was on the IQ platform. Just this morning, the new
such an amazing platform, by the way.
Amazing. Just and I was looking beautiful. At our one of the charts we do, and that is percent of coverage for each crop year, and that's gone up a little bit. And so I was easily able to access that and figure out what that is. So,
yeah, I mean, that's just amazing that much information can be at one's fingertips.
Unbelievable.
It is.
So,
unbelievable.
If you're obviously amazing. Interested in that, let us know. But yeah, that was pretty much it for sugar. Our expectations moving forward, obviously picking up, and for our clients want a little bit more detail about the FOB bulk basis numbers we're hearing and a strategy around it, give us a call. So
yeah, sounds good.
That's what I got for sugar.
There's something big coming up for us very shortly though here, isn't there?
Oh my gosh.
What's going on with our next podcast?
It's 100th episode.
Oh, the 100th episode. Who would have thought people would listen to us 100 times? That's amazing.
There's a few of them out there, right? Well, we're going to do something special for you guys on the next episode, our 100th episode. So tune in for that.
Yeah. The hint is Michael and Craig and Kevin are going to do a trio musical selection.
I think we should, kind of like a Hamilton thing. We'll sing the whole dang thing. But I don't want to lose any listeners, Nicole.
Right. I know.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Nicole, thank you so much. Thank you to all the listeners out there. And as I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for what you have every single day. And until next time, take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.